Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Welcome into the New Orleans Pelicans podcast presented by SeatGeek, a podcast dedicated to everything you need to know about the squad. Hear from players, coaches, broadcasters, and those who cover the NBA on a daily basis.
Are you seeing the improvement that you thought you would see when the season started?
There's no improvement.
The New Orleans Pelicans podcast starts right now.
Welcome to the Pelicans podcast. I am Joe Cardosi, joined as always by my man, Mr. Jim Eichenhofer. The podcast is presented by SeatGeek. And look, we got to get up tonight. We are facing the Rockets. We've been down a couple games in those games till the end. So even though they have been losses, they haven't been embarrassing. And look, we've lost Zion for a bit, and that is a bummer. But the one thing that this Pelicans team knows is that we have been through this before and we have won like this before. And you got to hope we can get back to our winning ways without Zion starting tonight against the Rockets, Jim.
Yeah, and as we get into later in the show, I mean, Houston is struggling. They're at the bottom of the Western Conference standings. They've had a rough stretch lately. I think under these circumstances, a lot of times for the normal NBA team, you might go into this game overlooking them. But I think
gotta worry about a corner dog, though.
All right. And the circumstances specifically that the Pelicans are in right now, to me, make it so that there's no way that's going to happen. I mean, yeah. The Pelicans have lost their last two games. Pretty frustrating. Games that you were in until the fourth quarter against the Grizzlies and Philly. So regardless, you want to get back on the winning track. And then now with the news that Zion's going to be out for the next 3 weeks before he gets reevaluated, it adds, I think, to the urgency that the Pelicans should have and I think will have tonight against Houston. Have to keep building on the success that they've had at home, too. I mean, that's very important to continue to rack up these wins at home. They have some really tough road games coming up and also just a stretch where they have a lot of road games.
Yes.
So it's crucial, you know, Wednesday against Houston and then Friday against Brooklyn to be able to get these wins on your home floor and just continue to be one of the best teams in the league at home.
And it's easy for people on Twitter to just see the news and think, you know, the team's going to be deflated. They're going to come out flat. Oh, woe is the Pelicans. But this team has pride. And these players that are going to go on the floor and start in place of these injured players, they have shown out before. And I think they're going to have a little something extra to prove now because of this situation. And you would love to see them take it to the Rockets and then take it to Brooklyn, which is going to be a much tougher game. But then, like you said, we are going to be on the road for a stretch, so you got to hope to at least split one of these two home games. Both of them would be delicious.
Yeah, you said it when you talked about, you know, the players having something to prove. I feel like collectively there's motivation from the standpoint of, I'm guessing that they've already heard in the last 24 hours people say like, oh, Pelicans are in trouble because Zion's going to be out.
Yeah.
But also motivation from the perspective of there are a lot of guys on the team that haven't played as much as they want to, which, I mean, everybody wants to play 40 minutes a game, even if you're the 12th man.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the opportunity to play more is huge. And also just to be able to fill a bigger role and be able to say, okay, you know, I've averaged 15 minutes a game, but if you give me 25, 30, I can do a lot more with it. So, I mean, Jackson Hayes is a good example of that. We've seen him recently go from DMPs almost every game to now he's been a critical element to the rotation. Billy Hernan Gomez, same deal, where he's had a lot of stretches where he hasn't played, but then he comes in and delivers. Yep. So, I mean, if you look across the board throughout the entire rotation of what the Pelicans and Willie Green are going to use tonight and going forward, you're going to see a bunch of names of players that when you watch them play, you say, this guy has no trouble coming to the arena ready to attack the other team and show what he can do.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, these players, it just doesn't seem internally like they see themselves as starters or bench players. They're all just players on the Pelicans team. And all of them, to Willie Green's point, as he said before, every man on this Pelicans team has contributed to the Pelicans' success this season. And speaking of Willie Green, Coach of the Month, big congrats to the man. I got to clap right now. That video was fantastic of C.J. McCollum.
That was great.
You know, telling Willie Green that he was the coach of the month, and just great to see that solidarity behind the scenes. And Coach Green deserves it. He's been through a lot of adversity, and this team is off to a great start because of him. So happy to have him in our corner. So proud of Coach Green.
I feel like if you didn't know any details about the Pelicans in December and saw that they were 10-5, and then you just looked at who they played against, you would be like, yeah, he deserves Coach of the Month. But then when you factor in that one of the best two or three players on the team has been out with Brandon Ingram, did not play at all in December. He hasn't played since Black Friday against Memphis. Other players missed games here and there. I mean, it's impressive, and it was an honor that he deserved based on just all of the factors of you were still able to win two-thirds of your games, beat a lot of good teams, and do it as well under circumstances that weren't super ideal. Mm-hmm. At some point, we want to get back to where the team is full strength, and we want to be able to see what they can do.
Yeah, I don't want to put Willie Green at a disadvantage all the time.
Yes, let's not do that.
Roll the boulder uphill all the time.
Right, let's not do that. But he's shown over and over again. I mean, same deal last season when he did one of the best coaching jobs in the entire league, especially in the second half of the year. So, I mean, over and over again, I mean, it just seems like the Pelicans have an advantage in preparation and organization on so many nights. And even when there's two or three key guys out, they still look like they're ready to play.
Yeah.
And you mentioned how a lot of these guys don't look at themselves as the star player. They just look at themselves as players. And I feel like that helps a lot with the cohesiveness of, okay, this is a combination we haven't used all season, but these guys look like they've played together. And whether it's from training camp, preseason, the time that they've spent in the gym, or even just off the court, right? It's putting them in a position where they still do not look like they're scrambling to try to figure things out, even when for a lot of teams they would be if you took away some of their best players.
Yeah, and a lot of our teams in the past have looked that way when you had to throw out different rotations, and it's just a great thing to see when you see the depth of this team in action. Just looking like it's a well-oiled machine. One of the accounts I've mentioned on here before that I enjoy on Twitter, Retro Pels, has a great thread going on right now of great Willie Green moments. And in that thread is one of his speeches when the team was 3-13, you know, had barely won any games. And that whole thread, I think, is going to be great because there's a bunch of great Willie Green moments. But right now, especially, I think people need to go watch that because the Pels were down, didn't have a bunch of hope. Look, at the end of the season, they ended up making the play-in tournament. And we've been in much, much darker places than we are now.
For sure.
Of course, it's a bummer right now. But Willie Green has pulled us out of much deeper depths, and I believe in that man, and I believe in the team. And I think it's time, to your point, like you talked about with Graf, we start giving the team the benefit of the doubt. I know we've been hurt before. I know previous teams have been fool's gold, but this team is different and it should feel different. And it's time for you to start getting used to it. Believe in them a little bit.
Yeah. I feel like, it's kind of like we need to not relapse into the old mindset of like, it's
time to get rid of the loser mentality.
Right. Exactly. It's time to, I mean, just look at what they've done this season, and that's over and over again. It's not like, okay, one time they pulled off a great win because they didn't have guys out, but then they lost the next four or five games and you were like, well, of course they lost these games without some of the key guys. I mean, they've done this repeatedly. And again, as we've talked about already many, many times, besides the depth that we've talked about, the home success. So I feel confident going into home games. I mean, just look at what the crowd has done and what that has evolved into. And the genuine, legitimate home court advantage that's developed here.
Huge.
So So at least for these next couple games, they're going to have that in their back pocket as well.
Yeah, and look, it's going to get a little dark. Look, this is a tough road stretch, and it's long, and you're playing some good teams. There's going to be some losses here. We're going to be back home again. We're going to be missing Zion. We're going to be missing B.I. for a while. Hopefully the Pelicans can gut it out. And then you got to hope to, again, go about 500 on this road stretch would be fantastic. And then you can make some hay late in the season as the team gets healthy. Still plenty of season left. Take heart, Pels fans. Let's talk to our own Todd Graffanini. I am so excited to have him in studio. The man has been stressed out. He's been through some games lately. His gray hair count is exploding exponentially. But we're going to try to reel him in. We're going to give him some nice sleepy time tea when he gets in studio here. And we'll try to chill him out, get him feeling confident just like us.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Joining us on the Pelicans podcast, Todd Graffanini. Graff, man, it's, you know, we've had a couple of games that have been a bit of a bummer, but honestly, it almost felt like we had a chance to steal them. You know, even though the Pelicans weren't playing that great in those games, neither were the Grizzlies until the end of the fourth, and the 76ers, until the end of the fourth, still in it. It just feels like as down as the Pelicans have been, we haven't been completely out of these games.
No, the expression I use is swimming upstream. Both of those games, the Pelicans have been swimming upstream, yeah, going into Memphis, and of course the other night against the Sixers. And you never had really a moment where the Pelicans would get on a big time run, take a lead, and then just try to, you know, play D and do enough offense to win a ball game, which we've saw, of course, during the long winning streaks, the 7-game winning streak, the 5-game winning streak. You saw those things. But in Memphis, you were always trying to come back. And then when you took a very brief lead, they would get it back, and then they would maintain you at arm's length. The same thing happened against Philadelphia. So, you know, and then once you really had momentum in the Sixer game, that was at the end of the third quarter. Zion was dominating. He had 10 points in the quarter. And you're thinking, all right, we're going to go get this thing. And then I'm looking on the bench, and I don't see him. And, you know, then you get the notification that he's not going to be back for the rest of the game. And it was almost like the air came out of the balloon because, you know, look, Philly's good, especially at home. And when they've got a MVP candidate like Joel Embiid, who literally can take games over, and he did, you've got to have the response offensively, and we just didn't have it consistently enough in the fourth quarter against Philadelphia. And, you know, tip of the cap to the Sixers, they were able to hold us off. But, no, just going back to your original point, no, you weren't out of those games. You were definitely in the games, but you just didn't have the oomph, if you will, to get over the hump.
Even if we won those games, it still almost felt like we'd have stolen them just based on our performance.
No question.
But I will take those, and you got to hope for a few of those coming up because we've got a stretch ahead of us. So we know, you know, Zion is going to be out at least 3 weeks, hoping to get some good news when he is reevaluated. But until then, we just sort of got to hang on, and you got to hope for good news with B.I., hopefully coming back soon. But until then, our depth is going to be tested once again, as it has been all season. And, you know, we've won without Zion. How do you think we can win without him going forward?
Well, you're just going to have the other guys step up in his absence. Now, again, how do you replace somebody like that? And like you said, we have won games without him, but this is going to be an extended stretch without him. So The thing that makes it so difficult is he is doing other things. And you go back to the game against Philadelphia. He had 7 assists.
Yeah.
He had 6 rebounds. He was doing everything. He was absolutely point Zion that night. I mean, he was bringing the ball up nearly every time off the floor. So that's the thing that you're going to have to adjust to. But the Pels have proven that they can win because of their depth, and it's definitely going to be tested. And I know you're going to, you know, Jim, we're going to talk about who needs to step up. I think everybody needs to step up. When you got a guy like 20 who's averaging 25 points a game, and in this last stretch, in the last few weeks, he's up around 30 points a game. Yeah. That's a lot to make up. So you're just going to have a little bit of from everybody. And, you know, I don't want to put too much pressure on him, but now with no B.I. or Zion for, you know, who knows how long, C.J. McCollum is really going to have to be a pure scorer. And now that Zion isn't going to be on the floor bringing the ball up, how does CJ's role change? Is he going to bring the ball up the floor? They're going to keep him off ball because he's been so successful off the ball because he's been getting open looks because Zion's been going into the paint and defenses are crashing on him, and that's leaving wide open guys. And so I'm going to be very curious to see how it starts with CJ, and that's going to start tonight against Houston.
Yeah, I think, like you said, Graf, a lot of games and a lot of chunks of games, Zion's been kind of the engine of the offense that not only has he had stretches where he's getting to the basket constantly, getting 4 or 5 layups in a quarter, getting 10, 12 points in a quarter.
And he's getting to the free throw line.
Getting to the free throw line as well, and also setting people up. There's been some games where he's had a bunch of assists and would have had more, but the team didn't have a good shooting night. So, I mean, hopefully we will get to see Brandon Ingram back at some point soon. And he'll be able to step into that role. I mean, we've seen him do that so many times where he's the guy that can get you 25, 30 points, but also on the same night can get you 10 or 12 assists. So, like you said, Todd, I don't think it's – you can't really single out one player and say, okay, it's on this guy. We know what CJ can do, but over the course of multiple weeks, you can't say to him, okay, every single game you're going to have to be the guy that carries everything. But fortunately, I think – the list of players in my mind that are capable of doing more and have shown that in the chances that they've had this season is very long. I mean, one of the guys that comes to mind immediately for me is Trey Murphy. I feel like he's had some big games on nights when either or both of Zion and Brandon Ingram haven't played. Jackson Hayes has played a lot more lately. Dyson Daniels, I think, has a chance to play more minutes and do more. I noticed yesterday that Keegan Murray won Rookie of the Month for December. Maybe Dyson can put himself into that conversation for January. That would be a big plus. Najee Marshall is another guy that has played more and just done a nice job with the minutes that he's had. So this team is capable. I feel like I understand when people said yesterday, and you see this on Twitter all the time because people, in my opinion, kind of overreact to everything. And
no
on
question.
Twitter? What?
And it also doesn't get you any clout or any attention if you just say, like, if your reaction is Zion's out, and things will probably be pretty decent.
Yeah, if you say, you hey, can't let's say be that. Reasonable, you're going to get
right.
ratioed.
You have to say, Twitter. Yeah, exactly. You have to say either, it's the end of the world, I don't know what can happen, or you could maybe even have a hot take and say, like, oh, they'll probably win every game with him.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
one
yeah.
of the, without him. It's one of those two things. But I think, I mean, just to give a couple stats, too. The Pelicans are 6-2 without Zion this season. They're 14-8 without Brandon Ingram this season. Compared to, they went 7-20 last year when right. Brandon Ingram didn't play. So think about the difference between 7-20 is a pace of a 21-win season, basically, if you prorate that over 82 games. Compared to this year, they're like a 55-win team when he doesn't play.
Right.
And in the games that both of those guys haven't played, which fortunately hasn't been that many, they're still 4-1 when both of those guys are out. So if I want to make my case to the people on Twitter that were screaming yesterday about, you know, it's the end of the world and how can they possibly overcome this? I mean, it's not going to be easy. And like we talked about, too, with the road trip that they have coming
up. Yeah, we're
going
to lose some.
The games that are coming up, it's going to be difficult. And the timing of this is not great. But I think based on what we've seen so far, to me, I think they've earned the right to have the benefit of the doubt of saying that they can still compete and still be a good team. I don't want to say regardless of who's out, because obviously there's a breaking point where it's like that's too much to overcome.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, hopefully with the players that they have, they've shown over and over again that they can win games. And you go into certain nights and people are like, ah, they're going to lose by 25 points, and they win. Just like the Dallas game going way back to October when Zion, B.I., Herb were all out and they still won that game on national TV. So that's what we're going to need to see, is more efforts like what they had against the Mavericks.
And I think the key is, Jim, is the guys that have been put in the position to perform have done it. And they've done it multiple times. And this is a very confident team, even though they're young. I mean, how confident is Trey Murphy? He thinks he can do anything. That's half the battle. It's when you're talking about neck up, mental, you know, Trey has always had the confidence to do what he is capable of doing. And then you got a guy like Dyson Daniels. And of course, you've got the other players like Graham and Billy who have really done a solid job in their roles. And you talked about Jackson Hayes. And Jackson Hayes now is playing 25 minutes a game. I mean, he wasn't playing at all this entire season. And now, since that Oklahoma City game, he's become a real part of the rotation. So getting the confidence there and then just doing it again and again, that has been key. And unfortunately, in the last couple of years, our role players have had to have a bigger role because of all the injuries that we've had in the last couple of years. So it's terrible to be put in that position, but in the grand scheme of things, it's been an advantage for us because they've been able to play a ton of minutes.
Yeah, I almost feel like that's part of the cohesion of this team. It's like the role players aren't just, you know, role players sometimes. They unfortunately, they have had to come in a lot of crucial times and play real starter minutes. And it almost feels like there is no one above anyone else in this locker room. They all feel like they're on the same playing field, and it helps with this team chemistry so much.
You know what I want to do, too? I want to revisit this in a few weeks, like maybe the next time we have Graf in the studio with us on the podcast, and we can go back and say, was Jim totally wrong, or was he totally right on this?
Either get roasted.
I promise I will stand up and face the music if it's bad, but I think one of the things that we have to retrain ourselves, and I say this about myself as well, is we're used to situations where we have key guys that get injured and the team collapses. The team does not do well.
Right.
So I feel like that's some of where the sentiment yesterday when the news about Zion was announced.
Oh yeah, we've been hurt.
People
before.
Saying exactly. Yeah, it's like traumatic to think back on the experiences that we've had in the past few years.
Yeah.
But I think we have to, and again, I'm willing to come back in a few weeks and say this was too optimistic and I was totally wrong. But I just feel like we have to kind of change the way we think about this team because of the talent. The talent that's here is the highest amount of talent that we've probably ever had in the history, at least since I've been here.
Yeah.
And I mean, the 07-08 team people talk about that won 56 games. I still think this team that we have now is more talented. It's younger, so maybe it's not going to win 56 games right away.
But you got more time
but
to
there's
have
potential.
More of those seasons.
Right, exactly. So that's how I want to kind of look at this, and it's going to be up to them to prove me right that over the next stretch of games that they can continue to win and stay at the level that they're at, where they're third in the West and have a chance to move up from there.
Yeah, still sitting third in the West. Now, Graf, what do we got to do to keep from sliding against this Houston Rockets team? We always love seeing our good friend, Harry Gordon. And I feel like the people always have a little extra, just something for him in the stands.
Yes.
I love that it's a home game, especially before we hit the road. What a team to boo. I think we can steal this one.
Obviously, when you're in the medium of radio, there's no visual. So the good news about when Eric Gordon is in the building in the Smoothie King Center, if you're listening on the radio, you always know when he has the ball. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The boos will be raining from the rafters tonight from the Smoothie King Center. Look, Houston, they've lost 9 of 10, but the thing that you got to watch out about this team, they'll lose 4 or 5 in a row, then they'll beat Milwaukee.
Yeah.
They'll lose 4 or 5 in a row, then they go into Chicago and put 133 on them and beat the Bulls. So, yeah, I mean, seriously, you just don't know what you're going to get on a night-in, night-out basis. They're a very, very young team. They're last in the West, but they can hurt you. They've got weapons. Green, Jabari Smith Jr. Green is an absolute scorer. Şengün, who had 8 double-doubles the entire year last year, has 10 already. They're a very good rebounding team as well. So those are some of the things that you have to watch. their weaknesses, they turn the ball over at will because they just run and gun. They're just trying to fast break you to death, and they're going to turn it over, and you should get some easy buckets off those turnovers, and that's really what hurts them when you look at the grand scheme of things. So, look, it's a game you got to have. I mean, you're at home where you've been very, very good.
And I feel like we can keep pace with them running the floor, especially with Jackson, you know, being right. a rim runner. Now, you know,
this is a game that really suits Jackson Hayes' style tonight because he loves to get out and transition as well. But you've got to take care of business at home, especially with what we know is coming up on the road. I'm gonna shake you guys' hands after the Friday night game against Brooklyn and bid you adieu.
You're because gonna be a different dude by the time
I will like changed appearances because you're not gonna see us for a very long time out there. So these two home games coming up against Houston and then of course on Friday night against the Brooklyn Nets, they're gonna be very key to try to get.
Before we talk about the road trip, to your point, Graf, I mean, the Rockets are number one in the NBA in rebounding percentage. Yeah. So one of the rare teams that comes in here and actually is a better rebounding team than the Pelicans. The Pelicans are fourth in that stat. So yeah, I was curious because for the people who were at the game on November 12th when Houston was here, you know, you talked about how people will know when Eric Gordon has the ball. I'm wondering, though, if one of the other guards is going to get some boos tonight, and it might confuse the boo ratio because Kevin Porter Jr. had a little dust-up with Jose where he pushed him, and I feel like if you mess with Jose Alvarado, you mess with the entire city of New Orleans.
Very true. Oh, yeah, he's the Don of New Orleans.
Right. Yeah. So I do wonder a little bit if there will be some sprinkling of boos, but maybe you'll be able to modulate that. You'll be able to say like, okay, the heavy boos are Eric Gordon.
Right.
The lighter boos are Kevin Porter Jr.
All right. Yeah. Now, we have really...
Name that boo.
Yes. We've really found out, you know, at the end of last year and really all of this year, how knowledgeable this crowd has become in the Smoothie King Center. Mm-hmm. And if we hear boos from when Kevin Porter Jr. touches the ball, then, I mean,
Then
you know that these fans are totally, totally locked in as to what's going on.
The hardcore Pels Twitter people or message board people. Now it's everyone.
Because, again, it's going to be nearly a full house. I mean, they only had limited tickets for this game a week ago.
Brooklyn's been sold out forever.
Yes, correct. So you got to expect it's going to be another great crowd here tonight.
Yeah, and then to Graf's point, then you hit the road because it's Dallas, the Washington Wizards, Boston Celtics, Detroit Pistons, Cleveland Cavaliers, then back home at Miami Heat. Oh, that feels good. Back on the road! Orlando Magic, Miami Heat, then you're finally back home. So I get to see you for a minute. And then hopefully I recognize you, then gone again. If we go 500 on this, I'll feel good.
Yeah, no question. And I know Jim knows this very, very well. You know, we talk about a house of horrors often, what arenas are very, very difficult to win in. Well, I think tops in the list might be in Washington, the ultimate house of horrors. Jim, I don't even know if you were here the last time that we beat the Wizards in D.C., it's been that long.
Was it like 2010 or 2011?
Yes.
I mean, I was here, but I wasn't at the game because I wasn't traveling. I didn't start traveling until 2013. So, yeah, I guess I never experienced a win in Capital One, Verizon Bank Center, whatever they call it.
Verizon Center
but
for me.
No, I think it's number one, not only from the standpoint of that they haven't won there in forever, but also no disrespect to the Wizards, but in relation to how successful that franchise has been, it's like you wouldn't expect – of all the teams in the league, that the one place that you haven't won any games in the last decade was Washington. So, yeah, you're right. It's time, though, Todd. It's time.
I mean, we're time to break through. Go back to last year. It was very early in the season. I mean, obviously a different team, but that was a game we absolutely should have won last year up there and let it slip away at the very end. But, again, that was in November. It was very, very early. So, you did not have the team that is presently constructed last year. So, let's try to get one on that trip, but we got to worry about tonight. We got to worry about the Houston Rockets.
Yep. And look, I'm not going to end this podcast with Graf on doom and gloom and worry. Let's not be anxious. Graf is here and we cannot let him go without talking about the win. Tulane Cotton Bowl. How are you still living? I thought you'd still be hungover from that.
No,
I know you had to work that night.
Yeah,
but
it would have been nice to have a few libations during that game and that day. But obviously, we had to play the Sixers right, that night. still a surreal experience for me, having been around that university for 27 years of my life and being the football play-by-play guy for 12. Joe, you were in the booth as our engineer. You've traveled before, so you've been around it. You know exactly what it means to me.
Long time coming.
I'm just so ecstatic for Coach Fritz and the players and the school, and to see all those fans. I mean, look, I'm not going to lie.
They showed out.
I had serious FOMO. I really wish I could have been there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I love my job, and the schedule is the schedule.
Yeah.
But to see that many people wearing olive green and sky blue in one venue, where to me, the greatest collection of Tulane fans that I had ever seen in person was in the Liberty Bowl in 1998 on New Year's Eve when we wrapped up the 12-0 season and beat BYU. I had never seen that many Tulane fans in my entire life. And to watch all the television shots and the videos and everything, and I've tried to look at as many as possible, to see easily 30,000 of them in that building, and then just the sheer joy after the game
dancing
was over.
Dancing in the fountains.
I mean, unbelievable. And I'm just so excited for the school, because the best part about all of this, to me, again, being a lifelong Tulane fan and having been around it, the best part about this is now Tulane has a new generation of fans.
Yes.
Because we lost a generation. I mean, we had so much losing in football. And, I mean, you look at the Tulane fan base, and it was, you know, guys like me, 50 and up.
Yeah.
And no college kids, no teenagers, no youth with Tulane stuff on. And now you go to a game and you see kids 8, 9 years old wearing Tulane stuff. And that is the key, because it all starts when you're a kid. It all starts mm-hmm. when you're a kid. That's when it started for me. And we did not have that for 25 years. And what has happened this season, especially in the last 2 months, you know, beating Memphis on homecoming, SMU, up in Cincinnati, getting to the championship game, beating UCF, and then to culminate it with that, you not only have a new generation of Tulane fans, but now the city of New Orleans is bought in.
Yes.
Which mm-hmm. has not happened in really since 1998.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, what kind of fun upside down world do we live in?
It's the Pelicans
world. And Tulane are cool. And it's great to see. And Gus and I have been talking about it too. Just watching the kids come into Pelicans games,
exactly,
and just fully like wearing the hat,
awesome.
Bought in. It's you're getting them early, and they're gonna grow up with the Pelicans being good in the background of their youth the whole time. It's so easy to buy in then, and we can't wait to see it. Graf, we'll be seeing you tonight as we face the pesky Rockets. Let's hope for a win, man.
I will be there. Thank you, gentlemen.
Big thanks to Todd Graffinini. I love that man. Been working with him forever. I like to give him a little grief every now and then, but he's a delight. Jim, as I look at the calendar, it appears that the day of the week is Wednesday. And that's a big day for you, I believe.
It really is. I mean, it's Western Conference Wednesday.
Friend Jim Eichenhofer of Pelicans.com would say it is a Western Conference Wednesday indeed.
Woo! I feel like, you know, maybe there's a little bit of momentum building on this. I'm still waiting for someone to tweet the hashtag besides me on Twitter.
Right now, the tide is still sucking back out to the ocean before the tsunami. You know, the tsunami is going to come. It's just,
still,
it's dry right now.
We're still at a total of one person that's tweeting this hashtag.
Yeah,
I'm waiting for people to, you know, when I see people in the arena to say, hey, Jim, it's Western Conference Wednesday. Hasn't happened yet.
Yeah,
but that's okay. I'm going to stay patient, and I'm going to keep chipping away, as they say, at
hashtag
this.
Hashtag WCW.
But anyways, it is Western Conference Wednesday, and I actually put a poll out on Twitter this morning, as I'm apt to do on Western Conference
Love
Wednesdays throughout the season. And the question was, you know, obviously the Pelicans over this next stretch are going to have to overcome being without Zion. Hopefully Mr. Ingram comes back at some point soon. But in the interim, Pelicans are going to have to figure out a way to win games. And stay, you know, hopefully stay in the spot that they're in the standings. And who knows, they're not far from moving up to first or second. I'm not going to rule that out either. But anyways, question was, of the teams that are fourth through seventh in the standings right now, which one is the biggest threat to New Orleans as far as being able to move ahead of the Pelicans potentially? And the consensus answer to that was, at least so far, is Dallas has 49%. Oh. The Mavericks have won, I think it's 7 games in a row. They have a chance to still have a big winning streak going on Saturday when they play the Pelicans. Same deal for Brooklyn. Brooklyn's won 12 in a row. They could have a 13-game winning streak going into Friday.
Boy, we really wanted to roast Nick Friedell for coming on the podcast early and be like, no, drama-free, looks good. And then they just like went out
there
looking
it.
Terrible. And now they look great, and then Nick Friedell is an oracle just like you.
But so I mean, there's a chance that both the Mavericks and the Nets are going to have really long winning streaks coming into Friday and Saturday games against Pelicans.
So glad, tired from it.
I'm glad we didn't bring this up while Graf was still here. I'm glad we waited until after he left to mention that.
Yeah.
But anyways, the second in the poll was the Clippers at 34%, Sacramento 15%, Portland only 2%. I think people recognize that the Clippers, especially with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, they've been pretty consistently, at least by their standards, on the floor lately. Maybe they're not. Maybe Kawhi's not playing back to backs, but otherwise, he's been on the court. I think people recognize that they're dangerous when they're at full strength. But just the way the Mavericks have looked lately, and specifically Luka Doncic has been insane, averaging like 45 points a game over
it's ridiculous.
Long stretches. So that was Western Conference Wednesday. And
Western Conference Wednesday, indeed.
I look forward to tonight. Last thing, Pelicans have a chance to move up to second, I should say, tonight. Denver does not play tonight. They play tomorrow. They host the Clippers in the late game on TNT. So those are games that we will be tracking over the next couple days.
Absolutely. And look, we're so glad we got to talk to Graf after that Tulane win. I think New Orleans wanted something to celebrate lately. And that Tulane Cotton Bowl win was absolutely bonkers. And I actually felt bad that Graf had a game that night. I was like, man, you should. I wish we could give him the night off just to go bananas, because that man has been through so many brutal Tulane seasons. I don't know how his liver is still functional. So for him to get that, I'm going to say that Graf got that win as if he was on the field. But for Graf to get that win from Tulane, I mean, that was just something special for everyone.
It really was, and I thought it was so cool the way they won the game at the end, where they came back from down 15.
That was crazy.
One by 1 point, they scored the tying touchdown and then go ahead extra point in the last, 10, 15 seconds of the game. I mean, it reminded me of Boise State. I'm not a huge college football fan, I'll admit that right off the bat, but I'm sure for the people that are really into it, they remember, I think it was 06 season, Boise State was the team that came out of nowhere, and people were just like, Boise State, who are they?
Right.
And they
beat the weird field.
They beat, the blue turf. They beat Oklahoma in a bowl game, and it was like the wildest ending, where they had like, they did like a Statue of Liberty lateral play. They did like a behind the back handoff where the quarterback faked that he was throwing and then dropped the ball off behind his back to somebody that won the game on a 2-point conversion. It was just like that, where it's just like, not only the landmark win of your program happens in a bowl, in a massive bowl game, but it's also like such a memorable way to win a game. So I thought that part of it was great as well. I mean, just factor all that stuff together. And as Graf talked about, you have a moment that I think is going to galvanize people for a long time.
For sure.
And it's so huge for the program. Just that, I mean, for recruiting and just for name recognition, I feel like across the country, you can't even measure what that did in terms of people understanding and recognizing, okay, Tulane football is legit, and this is something that they're known for now, like outside of Louisiana and outside of this area.
Yeah, I feel like Willie Fritz has done a fantastic job with that program since taking over. Again, Tulane fans deserved that. They have been through some dark seasons, and congrats to y'all for that big win. That was huge. And let's hope that the Pelicans can add on to that good juju tonight versus the Rockets, because we would love to send Eric Gordon and the rest of those pesky Rockets home with an L in their pocket. So, here we go. Let's get up. Let's get loud, Pels fans. They are going to need you. We will be in there in the Smoothie King Center tonight. You can check us out in the radio studio window. Give a wave if you see us in there. Me and Gus Cattingale will be starting the pregame show 30 minutes before tip on 99.5 WRNO. Jim Eichenhofer, Thanks as always, my friend.
You may even catch a cameo from me if you wave into the radio.
Yeah,
studio.
Every now and
we'll
then.
We'll see. I'd like to be there tonight. We'll see how tonight goes.
Yeah, if you see a man in a garish top hat and Elton John sunglasses, that is Jim Eichenhofer.
Definitely.
Just always rolls in there. You'll see a big python wrapped around his neck. It's crazy. So give us a wave. Say hi. We are the Pelicans Podcast, presented by SeatGeek. Thank you so much for joining us. We will talk to you again on Friday and hopefully have some good news for you then. Until then.
Thanks for listening to the New Orleans Pelicans Podcast, presented by SeatGeek. Join us 3 times per week on Pelicans.com, the Pelicans mobile app, or you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. We'll see you next time right here on the New Orleans Pelicans Podcast, presented by SeatGeek.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-errands pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.